Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Drift Bar. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Joe George and beautiful Andrew telling us that there was some overlap between Casario. Why are you shaking your head?
Because you still, I think it's a bit much.
It bothers you that I call Andrew handsome?
It doesn't bother me.
Why do you always shake your head? I can't call another man handsome?
Because
Cliff's about to be in town. Just wait for that. Why does it bother you that I call Andrew handsome?
I think because I think that sometimes the guy could be like more nicknamed about his talents and his abilities than just.
I think you're upset
Andrew.
That I'm not calling you handsome.
I don't need
do you,
that.
Do you care,
me.
Andrew, that I call you handsome? If it bothers you, I'll stop.
Call me whatever you want.
There you go. It doesn't bother him.
Well, then I'm gonna just start calling him every cuss word in the book.
Well, he told me. I think he has an admiration that I'm gonna call him things with respect. Whereas you, he might not be so sure.
Okay.
I thought Joel would call me anything bad.
Correct.
At least not to your face. I'm just kidding. 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees broadcasting live from Drift Bar in the Heights. 1207 West 20th, 97.5 Beer Bucket Special. 5 domestic beers for $20 throughout the broadcast. Watch the big game here. 2 of the biggest screens in the Heights, wall-to-wall TVs. Great spot to hang out, watch the game. Also, you get some crawfish. Get your crawfish on. 4th annual Super Bowl all weekend long. $7 per pound crawfish Saturday and Sunday. Cliff is in town. He's interviewing for the OC job. We think it's the OC job. It says offensive staff. I can't imagine it'd be anything else than the OC job. 713-780-3776. Brother Bear says, I'm just going to say Kyler Murray, wanted to improvise on every play, then blame his O-line for messing up, so having Cliff Kingsbury is a plus. I think that's something you have to factor in. Like, how much of Kyler Murray going off script can you put on Cliff Kingsbury?
Well, not only that, but, I mean, the fact that, remember now how many times he saw, it wasn't just offensive linemen. He'd sell out A.J. Green, an accomplished, you know, all-pro caliber receiver in his day, and sold him out on national TV and the body language and all the other things. And I think that he thought he was the smartest guy in the room. And because, as you mentioned, he's one of the best athletes in the world, that doesn't necessarily mean you're the smartest quarterback in the world or in the NFL. But he acted like he knew it all. And I'm sure that that was a constant battle for Cliff to know the right play to be called or the right play to be, you know, executed against a certain defense you're seeing. And then know that no matter what you think and know is right, Kyler could do the exact opposite and do whatever the hell he wants. I think that, again, the big separation is, did Cliff do a great job as a head coach or not? Everybody's going to continue to analyze that. But in the leader of men CEO category, probably has some work to be done. But we know that he has a firm grasp on offense in football, and I think that you could do a lot worse than getting Cliff Kingsbury to be your OC in whatever title you give him for the next year or two or however long he wants to take it.
I mean, I think you can even get a little bit more specific in the sense of, okay, you make your call. We know that the Houston Texans have now talked to 4 potential offensive coordinators. The first 3, Bobby Slowick, passing game coordinator with San Francisco, Troy Walters, the wide receivers coach with Cincinnati, and Nick Caley, who was the tight ends coach with the Patriots, who's already accepted the Los Angeles Rams tight end job. So he's taken his name out of consideration, and now it's Cliff Kingsbury. So you're down to 3. So, like, it's not even a, like, you know, you could do far worse. Pick out of the 3. Of the 3 that we know, you tell us. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line on a Frankie's Friday Fire. Which of the 3 do you want? Cliff Kingsbury, Bobby Slowick, or Troy Walters? 713-780-3776. Bryce Young also, Joe was telling us that his first ever scholarship offer in the 8th grade came from Cliff Kingsbury. So they kind of go way back.
That's pretty good to know because, again, you could do a lot worse in not only getting him to be your OC, but having his voice in the room as it relates to any and all possible draft picks and inclusions on your offensive roster. And I think that that is extremely key. And like I said, and the other intangible is he's been there and done that as a head coach, and we know he's made missteps. He's probably had some successes along the way that DeMeco can learn from, and that he can guide DeMeco through when they get into the fire of a full regular season and everything that's going on in his first go-round. DeMeco could do a lot worse in a lot of ways than having a guy on his side, not only running his offense, but helping him through the day-to-day.
713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Get to a few of the text on this. Josh in Seabrook, the other Josh. I wouldn't want Cliff. He relies too much on the air raid, and most of the time he's led at Arizona and Texas Tech have seemingly run out of gas towards the back end of the season. Do you think his coaching style from an offensive point of view has, and I've seen this too, like his records at Tech the second half of the year, not good. We saw Arizona second half of the year, not good. Do you put any correlation on that?
I think there might be something to it. I don't know if that's conditioning-wise or otherwise, too. But I think that, look, you're a long way from having that much concern about the second half of the season for this football team, and there's ways to rectify that, too. But when you look at it, this is the anti-Bill O'Brien. This is a guy that'll open it up. This is a guy that'll utilize all his weapons. This is a guy that won't be, you know, vanilla starch from a play-calling position point of view. And I think that that's what everybody's been clamoring for anyway. So maybe in a year or two, and maybe you won't have to deal with it, because in a year or two, if you're worried about how this team finishes the season on a run for the playoffs, he might be coaching somewhere else, and then you'll have somebody else doing the play calling, and you don't have to worry about it anyway. Let's get through the next year or two, and then worry about it when it really means something for this team. Because, look, now you start thinking about it and say, hey, if they get Cliff Kingsbury, and they do what they need to do in the draft, and you can get a quarterback, and then no matter how much you show progress, we talked about it, it doesn't have to translate to wins and losses. If you give Cliff Kingsbury a voice in the room and a chance to get the receiver he wants next year at the top of the draft, if it's Marvin Harrison Jr., or if you can get a receiver then, because, like, you know, I go back to what you said about if there truly isn't a true wide receiver one in this draft, we know next year there's going to be. And if you could get that guy too and let Cliff go crazy with all the weapons he has on offense and not have to worry about D, man, I think the Texans are in a really, really good spot.
I think, like, you can't deny the Cliff Kingsbury teams in the second half of the year have had struggles. Mm-hmm. I don't think it has anything to do with the offense, though. I think it's more of him as a head coach for whatever reason. Like,
again, shortcomings possibly, yeah.
I don't know. I don't think he's, like, you know, working them too hard in practice, anything like that. I think it's probably more psychological than anything else. But I don't put any, like, credibility on it being because of the offensive side of the ball. I think it's more of him as a head coach and as a leader, which he wouldn't have to worry about that because he wouldn't be the head coach, wouldn't be the leader. It's going to be DeMeco Ryans.
But, you know, Jeremy, as it translates, though, to when you are the head coach as opposed to just worrying about your offense, as a head coach, there's been time and time again where you have to know when to take your foot off the gas on practices, give guys days off. We talk about Dusty and all the overly, you know, friendly, player-friendly he is to days off and rest days and all the other things. But at the same time, there's been plenty of coaches that are so militant, and Tom Coughlin was one of them. You got to be on time for every meeting. You got to get to every practice 5 minutes early. You got to be on the practice field after practice ends. You got to be putting in all this extra work. Some guys break down because it's just too much every day.
I wasn't really around the Houston football team when Cliff was there, not nearly as much as I am now, so I've never really had a lot of personal experiences with him, but I've heard nothing but really good things about Cliff. ABC Eric, I personally think that Cliff would be a perfect fit for the Texans. He's innovative on offense. I feel like he'll help guide us to the perfect QB in the draft or free agency for our team. Don't say free agency. Also, he got a bad rap in Arizona because he had to deal with the child, Kyler Murray. Look, is Kyler Murray the Russell Westbrook of the NFL? Maybe.
Maybe.
You just can't win with a Kyler Murray. And I think he's
talented. Good analogy, but we've said in professional sports, the player is going to win out against the coach every single time because of the contract and the length of the contract that it goes to. Most coaches in the NFL, just like in the NBA, but maybe not to the same degree, are going to have players. In the NBA, almost every player is making more than the coaches, with the exception of a few really big-name long-term coaches. And that's a factor. If the owner goes, well, if it's push and shove, and which one do I go to, I'm going to push out the coach that I can push out for $5 or $6 million, as opposed to trying to unload a guy that I'm paying hundreds of millions of dollars to over the next 5 to 6 to 10 years.
7584, anyone that doesn't want Kingsbury is ill-informed, even if he's not the long-term answer, just from the standpoint of developing a rookie quarterback. Mayfield, Mahomes, Murray, his track record speaks for himself. I think some people are going to criticize that text and say, well, yeah, Mayfield and Murray maybe don't speak for themselves. Now, he did. He was doing a pretty good job. I mean, Baker didn't really take off until he went to Oklahoma. Like, I don't know
That's
if
true.
I can. I don't know if I can
I
give Baker a whole lot of cliff. Like, he
bounced
fine
around
as a walk
yeah.
on, but
yep.
then he transferred out of there because of the quarterback situation there. I don't know if I can give Cliff Mayfield, but Mahomes Murray fine. 3878. Do you think Cliff can take a backseat to DeMeco, or would he be trying to take his job in time? DeMeco Ryans is a made man in Houston. No one's taking DeMeco Ryans' job unless he's fired for poor performance in 4 or 5
to try
years.
And leave, yeah.
Yeah, there's DeMeco's the made man here. Cliff Kingsbury's not the made man. Like, I've seen a bunch of people say that they're going to, like, this franchise is a joke. Watch him demote DeMeco and hire. No, come on, man. DeMeco's, that's just outrageous. That belongs on Bad Take Boulevard. Gorski, does Ryans give you all the vibe he could become the Texans' version of Belichick or Tomlin tenure-wise?
Let's slow down.
No.
Let's pad the brakes. I'm not there yet. Not even close.
I get the – like, I'm not going to say Belichick because Belichick, resume-wise, is the greatest NFL coach of all time. I could see – and I'm not talking about results. I'm not talking about the wins, like the accolades, things like that. I think that DeMeco Ryans is going to have the longest leash we've ever seen in franchise history.
Well, they almost have to, right? Look, it's better because it's believable and it's hopeful that he is because of all the traits he brings to the table. But being honest with everybody, knowing how badly they screwed up the last two hires and in the amount of time that it took them to screw them both up, whoever you brought in was going to have a pretty long leash. The fact that you brought in an ex-player that's beloved, that loves the city, that's saying and doing all the right things, yeah, his leash is incredibly long, and he is going to be here for the long haul. As it relates to a comparison to Belichick, have you ever seen Belichick pump his fist and jump up and down and get all over the sidelines and hug players and do all those things? No, they're totally different people, and Bill's resume is totally different than the one you hope it creates for DeMeco. And it's very unheard of to say that another guy's going to come along to put together the dynasty resume that Belichick has. All you can hope for is that DeMeco puts together with a roster and on a daily basis the kind of team with effort that we've seen by the way he's portrayed himself in every press conference and since he's gotten the job. And that is, he's going to get the most out of his players. He wants to teach them and make them better.
Yeah.
And he knows and understands how to lead these guys on a daily basis to a higher level and hold them to a higher standard. That's what you need.
I think he meant from like a tenure point of view. I don't think he's putting 6 championships on.
I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about the animated, personable.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Those are factors I'm glad DeMeco's not like Belichick.
I think he meant specifically the tenure, though. Like, I don't think he meant like the personality, the scheme, anything like that. I think he meant specifically like the length they would be at the specific team. 9723, Kingsbury might be one of those coaches that's better as a coordinator than a head coach. Several guys are meant to be coordinators and be successful. Wade Phillips was a great DC and never did anything as a head coach. I think that's a great point.
Yeah, and I've used that one multiple. I just think there are guys that are just better off being coordinators than head coaches. And it is a responsibility, and it's taxing and it's stressful on a daily basis because guys have things pop up in their personal lives and in the locker rooms and in the weight rooms and all these other things that you have to be a psychologist as much as you have to be a football coach. Mm-hmm. Some guys are made out for it. Some guys aren't. So I think that's a distinct possibility. But I think that Cliff, again, because he has the means, because they took care of him and extended him before they let go of him, I don't think he's in any hurry to do anything, and he's going to be real particular if he gets another chance to head coach. But in the meantime, if he's got a state he knows really well, and he's got guys he feels comfortable with, and he can just be himself and do what he really knows best, which is offense, I think it's a win-win.
I kind of like Cliff watching the Hard Knocks in-season thing. Did y'all watch the Hard Knocks in-season thing?
I did not.
It was, I watched it. I was pretty impressed with him, even through a bad year. 713-780-ESPN, 6030. I'm a Red Raider, and we'll be clear. Cliff is a head coach? Poop. Cliff is the offensive coordinator, will be huge for the Texans. 713-780-ESPN. You excited about the idea, or are we thinking that it's a slam dunk, or are we being a little bit too much? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees broadcasting live from Drift Bar in the Heights. The big game is on Sunday. Some Super Bowl questions. What are some of the overrated storylines, and what do we got to get to? What do we got to touch on this Chiefs-Eagles game coming up on Sunday? It's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, we've been talking about it, big game Sunday. Well, you can make it even more interesting than, obviously, the biggest football game of the year. If your team's not involved but you want to make it a bigger event, put some money down on it. Do some prop bets. Maybe you just want to bet on the anthem length or all the different things in terms of individual players and their potential performance. MyBookie.ag offers the most competitive odds and the widest range of sports and events to bet on. One of the most fun events that we know is all year long is coming up on Sunday. And you know you can go to MyBookie.ag and they're going to take care of their customers every step of the way. And what makes the website great? It's easy to place bets, track your progress, and from anywhere at any time, you know exactly how you're doing and where your bets stand. Their exclusive promotions and bonuses make it fun and give you more opportunities to earn that extra cash. Remember this promo code because it's important. It gets you things and it can take you places. MyBookie.ag and the promo code is bet975. You deposit $50 or more, up to $2,000, you get a cash bonus. You'll see it in your account instantly. Once you bet that bonus once, it's yours to take out and do with as you like, as long as it's still remaining, because you made the right call. It's a no-strings-attached bonus with MyBookie.ag. Other online sites don't make it this easy. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. As I always tell you, it's the ultimate sports betting experience where you can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, with the only place I tell you to do it. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975.
This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Drift Bar. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN at 92.5, broadcasting live, Drift Bar in the Heights. They're nice enough to open up a little bit early for us. Wheelhouse will be here until 7 o'clock. While we're here, five domestic beers for $20 during the broadcast, 97.5 Beer Bucket Special. And tomorrow kicks off their fourth annual Super Boil all weekend long, $7 per pound of crawfish. Watch the big game, enjoy some mud bugs. But the two biggest television screens in the Heights, wall-to-wall TVs, perfect spot to watch the big game on Sunday. Speaking of the big game, Blankers, got some Super Bowl questions we got to get to.
Okey-doke.
The game itself to what are some must-have foods that we have to have while we're watching the Super Bowl. Let's start with the game. We haven't really talked about this much this week.
No.
Who you got, Chiefs or Eagles on Sunday?
I like the Chiefs. I really do. I've liked the Chiefs all year. I like the Chiefs in the playoffs. I like the fact that the 2 weeks before the Super Bowl helped Mahomes out immensely. You know, he said from the very get-go of the season that whether he had Tyreek Hill or not, that he was going to be able to move the football, they were going to be able to do things, and that he really liked what he had. Well, you've seen that, and you've seen him use every resource. And sure, it's easy to say you've got one of the best tight ends in the history of the game, but no matter who's playing wide receiver and or running back, he gets them the football. And he does things that a lot of quarterbacks can't do. And I understand that the Eagles are a really good defense, and their secondary is really, really, really good. And, you know, and they're really skilled on both sides of the football. But I believe that the other thing that really, you know, strikes me as a key is the fact that you've got a coach and a quarterback that's been there and done that and won it before. And this is a totally different animal. I give all the credit in the world to everybody on the Eagles, starting with Sirianni and the job he has done, and Jalen Hurts and everybody else. But when you get into – it's a different animal when you get to your first Super Bowl. And things are different every single minute of every day that you're there all the way through the game. I think that's going to be a key intangible to keep an eye on. And I believe at the end of the day, the Chiefs are going to win the game.
Look, I understand why Philadelphia's favored. I think that they have a deeper team top to bottom. They have a really good defense. I think Kansas City's defense is a little bit underrated, actually. I think that they're better than some people give them credit for, probably because of the past, probably because an offensive-oriented team when you have a Mahomes, when you have an Andy Reid. That said, whenever I need one game, I need one team to be better than the other team for 60 minutes. One game, and look, the experience stuff I think does come into play in this a little bit too, because they know what the biggest stage is like. They know what that, you know, the Super Bowl feel is going to be like. They know what the halftime is going to look like with this, you know, as long as it's going to take, those sort of things. I think that does come into play. But if I need one game and a team to win one game, the two things that I look at more than anything else is quarterback. And I love Jalen Hurts. Houston kid, Channel View, love Jalen Hurts. He's not Pat Mahomes. I think Pat Mahomes is going to go down as one of the greatest two quarterbacks in NFL history. The second thing I need is a head coach. And I trust Andy Reid far more than I trust Nick Sirianni. So, look, I'll say that the Eagles are the better team top to bottom. But the Chiefs have the two biggest advantages at the two most important positions for me in a one-game setting. That's QB with Mahomes. That's head coach with Andy Reid.
No, exactly. I think we're on the same page with that. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Been there, done that, won it. And when the everything's on the line, that's who you want on your side. I mean, we just got done talking over and over about everything to do with Cliff Kingsbury as it relates to offense. Well, one of the godfathers of NFL offenses right now is Andy Reid. And so you believe that everything he does and he's capable of doing on the biggest stage, he's going to put you in a good position. And when you have a guy executing every play and basically extending and adding to every play like Patrick Mahomes, I think that means something. And I understand that the Eagles have been the most consistent and strongest team in the league all year. Chiefs are playing good football, and I believe that, like I said, the biggest factor for me other than those things is Mahomes got that extra week with that ankle. It's ridiculous he in 1 week's time he was able to be as good as he was in the championship game, but now give him 2 full weeks to rehab and get that thing closer to 100%. I think it's completely in the Chiefs' favor.
6761 says Mahomes has only played 1 good quarter of 8 in his Super Bowl career. Okay, you bet on the Eagles. Great. Then. Yeah. What's the best way place to watch the Super Bowl?
Oh, you know what? I've done it both ways, where you get into a large group of people and everything like that. If your team's involved in it, truly the best place is at your own house and with the people closest to you. And even then, I would question that, because when the Packers were 15-1 and blew the NFC Championship game, I went out of my comfort zone. I invited people to watch it at my house, and then I watched Brett Favre pee down his leg till it froze until they lost in overtime.
It was cold that day?
It was the biggest, most regretful move of my life, or one of them. But I think that if you don't have a stake in the game...
What else? What are some other regretful days in your life?
I don't think we need to get into that now. And there's plenty. But I think that you want to be in a place where there's great ample viewing opportunities, much like Drift Bar. I mean, when you get every TV, every time you turn around, it's not just a little TV. It's a big TV. You're not going to miss a play. You're not going to miss anything that happens along the way. And then you've got great food options and beverage options. And, of course, the viewing pleasure helps, too. I think that, being around friends and family and people that matter to you, too, is fun. But, yeah, I those are the kind of best Super Bowl experiences I've had.
Yeah, Drift Bar is the best place to watch the game. There's no doubt about that. And you get some $7 crawfish and 97.5 beer bucket special. What is the must-have food that you got to have during a Super Bowl?
I think there's a lot of them. I think
there's one for me that's king amongst the rest.
I think over anything else, I want good pizza. I love good pizza, because pizza could be an appetizer. Pizza could be the meal itself. I would love that, you get some deep dish and some thin crust and some different options, and I love pizza for any kind of a sporting event.
You getting pizza Sunday?
Probably.
Yeah. See, for me, it's buffalo wings.
Okay.
Like, I have to have buffalo wings for a Super Bowl party. If there's not buffalo wings there, it's not even really a Super Bowl party. Now, can you go wings and pizza? Absolutely.
Sure.
Like, I'm in favor of that. Can you go wings and some sliders? Yeah, absolutely. I'm in favor of that. I also like a good chips and dip.
I was going to say chips and dip or nachos.
Yeah. Like a ranch or a little bit of queso. How about that?
Queso's huge.
That's absolutely must have. What about the people that get upset when people talk during commercials? How do you feel about those type of people?
Record it and go watch them later on. I mean, if that's what you're into, just like if people are really intense about the game but they choose to watch it in a loud public setting,
yeah.
Well, that's your bad mistake, so I hope you DVR'd it so that you can watch it when you get home, because not everybody has the same kind of affiliation to the game the way you do, commercial-wise or otherwise, so don't make them pay the price in a public setting for your misstep.
I like watching the commercials, but I'm also not going to be so, don't talk during the commercials.
No.
And plus, it's gotten to the point now where the commercials are so overrated.
They are.
The commercials aren't. I haven't seen, a good Super Bowl set
Last
of commercials.
Year was really disappointing.
Yeah, crypto's probably going to be gone now, so that's a good thing. Although the crypto.com commercial was hilarious with Larry David, and it turned out he was right, even though he was, Bad Take Boulevard. But, you can just watch the highlights of the best commercials day for take 5 minutes out of your day.
USA Today, who ranks them all, to social media and all the different options on the internet, you can see every commercial in the Super Bowl just by clicking on the right website or the right link and figuring out which ones were the ones that were winners and losers and everything along the way, just the same way you can figure out who won and lost the game and watched every play. And in most places that you go to these days, if it's still like it was always when we were going out watching the Super Bowl, they turn the volume down for the commercials anyway and don't give them the free play in the bar anyway. So,
really?
Yeah, so.
That's weird.
Oh, man, forever and a day they used to do that.
Would Super Bowl Saturday be better than Super Bowl Sunday?
From a recovery standpoint, I think that's why so many people
think. You're doing a lot of damage on Saturday?
A lot of people think that, the Monday after Super Bowl should be a national holiday because people go all out. I'm sure it's one of the most call sick day utilized days in the workplace. A lot of people would love it more if it would be on Saturday so that they could recover on
See,
Sunday.
I'm a NFL football is a Sunday sport. Like, it's what I've been conditioned on. It's what I know. Like, NFL Sunday or NFL football belongs on Sundays. College football belongs on Saturdays. High school football belongs on Friday. I'm totally okay with it being on a Sunday. Now, it leads to the next question. Should Monday be a holiday? Yes, Monday should be a holiday. It absolutely should be a holiday. And if you're a manager, if you're a boss, if you're somebody that kind of dictates when other people work, you give them the option to work from home. Like this, you can do all your work today from home. Today is a remote day. And now in 2023, remote days are way more frequent and often. So absolutely Monday should at least be a work-from-home remote type of day.
It used to be people said sports shouldn't be a significant enough of an occurrence, even if it's a big game, to say that it should dictate the workplace. Sports is life, and we all know that, and that's why you guys are listening right now, and we talk about it every day. And if sports is life, then I believe that if it's going to stay on Sundays, there is a case to be made for Mondays off, just like during March Madness. There's plenty of opportunities to say the same thing. Like, for all the people that love watching the opening week of the March Madness and the tournament, then give them the option to be able to do the same thing you just said. Same thing. Work from home, or, you know, make sure the work is done and don't worry about when you decide to do it, so that people can enjoy viewing and watching sports, which is part of their life on a daily basis.
713-780-ESPN. What are your answers to those questions? What would you change about Super Bowl Sunday with the day before, day after, or even during the Super Bowl? 713-780-3776 on a Frankie's Friday Fire. $50 Frankie's Italian Kitchen is on the line. The Houston Astros were in the news yesterday. Dana Brown speaking to the media in their little pre-spring training event as they're getting ready to head out to Florida. He has made it clear that he's going to be aggressive in trying to lock up players. Does it make sense? Do you like the tone of his conversation? And can he convince Jim Crane, who's never been one to give out long contracts, to start giving out long contracts? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, guys, before we go to the break, tell you about Doc Linville and his staff. Look, Doc Linville's the best in the business at the NeoGraft procedure. If you don't know what it is, you need to investigate it, especially if you're experiencing hair loss and pattern balding. He takes care of it. And it literally, it's not things that mask it, like all the different sprays and creams and foams. It's truly taking your own hair where you have a lot of it, you're never going to lose it, that genetically is the sides and the back, and moving it to where you need it most. Some people, it's the hairline in front. Other people, it's that baboon's butt that rears its head on the back of your head when anybody sees you walking away. You can take care of all of that, get more self-confidence in your life on a daily basis, and you can feel better about yourself knowing that you're going to have the hair, it's going to stay and it's going to grow, and it's going to be there for the long haul. And the best thing is, being an ESPN 97.5 listener, you get a free consultation with Doc Linville and his staff for them to explain any and all all the different ways that the NeoGraft procedure works and how it can help you for absolutely free. It costs $150 for anybody else off the street, but because you're an ESPN 97.5 listener, if you go to 975hair.com, you get the consultation for free. You get to figure out if it's right for you, ask all the questions, get all the answers like I did. The biggest thing that I'm going to tell you as a spoiler alert, the one thing that got me, 95%+ of all the follicles moved are going to stay and grow and be with you for the long haul, and that was the deal changer for me. That was the game breaker that said, I got to do this. I am so happy that I did. So is John Granato and others. You can be, too. Go to 975hair.com, set up that appointment. Go in and ask your questions and see if it's right for you. Tell them Joel Blank sent you by.
Live from Drift Bar for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, this is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, Texans interviewing Cliff Kingsbury today. Super Bowl coming up on Sunday, but the Astros in the news as well. They're headed off to spring training, so they had their little media pre-spring training event. Killer Bees broadcasting from Drift Bar in the Heights, by the way. 97.5 beer bucket special, 5 domestic beers, $20 during the broadcast. We're here until 3, of course. We're at Wheelhouse until 7. Watch the big game here on Sunday. Now, the two biggest screens in the Heights, 250-inch screen patio or screen TV on the south patio, dog-friendly patio, so you can bring out the pets. Have a good time on Sunday. Also, tomorrow and Sunday, the fourth annual Super Boil, $7 per pound crawfish Saturday and Sunday. Dana Brown, new Astros general manager, says one of the things he wants to get done is signing players to extensions. Here he was yesterday meeting with the media on his philosophy on giving out those extensions.
Sometimes the players understand the risk of not signing, because if you don't sign, what's going to happen is, let's say if you don't sign and you get injured, you know, your career could be shorter, right? But if you sign, you know that you're locked into that contract, you know, and it's a risk on both sides. And I think relationships is a big part of this. And I think that you have to put the fan base first, and you have to go after these players, and you have to try to sign.
Brown also talked about Christian Javier and Kyle Tucker specifically, how they were a couple of the guys that they would be discussing. They talked about Bregman and Jose Altuve because they're done after 2024 as well. I was thinking about this, and I was wondering if it's the best like strategy for Dana Brown to be talking so openly about contract extensions. Like, do you give the leverage to the agent? And I've been going back and forth on this. I'm curious your thoughts on it, Blankers, because I do think on, you know, one side of the argument, you are putting a lot of it out there, and you are giving the agents leverage. Look, they really want our player. So if they really want our player, then the demand for that player is going to be higher, and we're going to hold out for as much money as we can possibly get. The other part of that conversation, though, or at least the other side of the argument, is this: is that Dana Brown is being very vocal, saying that we're trying to sign these guys. We're trying really hard to sign these guys, whereas Carlos Correa left, George Springer left, Gerrit Cole left. All those guys left, and I think that Astros fans don't really feel like the Astros tried a whole, like, really hard to sign those guys, and rightfully so. But even if you don't sign a Kyle Tucker, but you're Dana Brown and you're talking about how much effort you're spending on trying to get Kyle Tucker locked up, it is sending the message to the fan base of saying, hey, we're trying to lock these guys up. We gave them fair market value, and it was them that left us.
We've talked about this a lot, Jeremy, and it goes in so many different deep directions as it relates to pro sports. There's positioning in everything, right? And there's imaging in everything. And we've said that when you're talking about contract negotiations, media members are now used as pawns and messengers to get the message out. Sometimes it's the agent or the player side. Sometimes it's the team side. This is another extension of that, where we're, again, we talk about the complete resurrection and redo on the reset button the Texans have done as a franchise and organization in the last couple months. Well, the Astros could do it too, because of all the good things that they've had happen and all the positive vibes that they've gotten, one thing that they take a hit on is exactly what you said: the big names and the good guys that got away. So now, if you can set the tone that, you know, with a new general manager in town, look, this is the way we're going to handle these things. We're going to let you know whether it's our smokescreen or the truth. We don't have to tell you that. We're just telling you we really want these guys to be around. We really like these guys and think highly of them. And we are having discussions with the player and the agent to try and see if we can get a deal done. At the end of the day, you are appeasing your fan base. You may not do the things the way the fans want you to do it at the end, and you may agree to part ways yet again with another player or two. But in the process of keeping them, we use the Texans term transparency, but it might not be completely transparent, but at least it's to the point of, we're not lying to you, we've talked to them. We've talked to them on multiple occasions. We are trying to get a deal done. Yeah, you are. But you know what? We don't know what you're offering, and we don't know what they're, and they might play the game too and say, yeah, you're trying to get a deal done, but you lowballed us. But at least from an organizational standpoint, you're doing things differently than you have done in the past, and the fans like that.
Yeah. Now, I mean, it has been an organization that's had success, though. So, like, doing things differently when you've had the golden era of baseball, it's like, do you need to do those things? I think it could be a positive and a negative. I think speaking so publicly about, yeah, we want Kyle Tucker back, makes Kyle Tucker's agent, okay, well, we're in a position of power. But at the same time, if those players were to leave, I think it does make people a little bit more content with the Astros' effort, Dana Brown's effort to, hey, they gave it the old college try. They gave it a shot.
The other thing I would add to that, too, is it sends a message to other agents that they're at least willing to talk before the time makes it essential that they talk. The fact that a lot of teams say, we're not going to go down that road until we have to, or, you know, we're not going to explore those possibilities till later on in the contract. We know that, you know, in the past, again, that's been somewhat of a knock on the organization, and we know that all of a sudden then the Bregman deal came through, and it looked like that the Astros were changing their philosophy a little bit. And I think that sent a message to other agents. This could be a message that, hey, whether we get it done or not, that's, you know, up for us to work out the details on. But the fact that they are willing to talk and they are open to extensions, that means something a lot of times to agents as well as players.
The four names that had been talked about were Kyle Tucker, who's this is the first year of arbitration. He actually lost his arbitration case, too, by the way. He was asking for $7.5 million.
Yep.
Astros suggested $5 million. The arbiter ruled for the Astros of $5 million, yet people were critical of the Astros just for not giving up $2.5 million to Kyle Tucker for some reason. Silliness on their part. Christian Javier is another one, a younger pitcher who is about to get some big money for the first time in his career. And then Alex Bregman, and he didn't mention Fromber. Not really. Alex Bregman and Jose Altuve as well, because they're up in 2024. And he addressed how he wants to start to look at players whose contracts expire in 2024. I think that the Astros, like when you look at the last, let's just call it the golden era, since they started winning and being a playoff team, 2015, missed it in 16, won the World Series in 17. I don't think that the Astros have really been wrong much at all. With players that they've had come up for extensions or free agency. Like Dallas Keuchel was the first one. Former Cy Young winner fizzled away once he left Houston. George Springer is one where the jury's still out. He was hurt in year one, and he's always been hurt. He's been an injury-prone player over the course of his career, so why would you sign an injury-prone player to a huge multi-year contract into his 30s? You wouldn't. The jury's still out on that one, though. One good year, one bad year. The other one's Carlos Correa. Carlos Correa, who signed basically a one-year deal with Minnesota at a high AAV, then signed three contracts this year because the first two wouldn't pass him on his physical. I don't think that was a miss. Gerrit Cole, jury's still out. He's been away for a few years, but it's such a long contract. I don't think that the Astros have really missed on players that have left in free agency. So I do hesitate. Like, well, everybody's excited. Oh, sign their own. Keep everybody together. Make sure that you sign everybody. I still caution and still have the philosophy, nothing's going to move me off this philosophy, do not sign players into their mid-30s. To me, the drop-off, the final year of a deal should be when a player's 33, 34 years old. I don't want to pay a player into his mid-30s and into his late 30s.
No, I think that, again, I would agree that they really haven't swung and missed, and we kind of knew maybe more than most, or in a lot of cases, look, we knew this was going to be hang-up. We knew Springer wanted a big deal, and we knew he wanted it for long-term big money because, whether he felt this or we saw this or people knew this, he was held back, and the service clock was held back from starting real quick because of the fact that he felt like it cost him money. We knew he was going to try and get his bag, and the Astros rightfully didn't make that move. We know their philosophy is not they're not big on the long-term, big-money deal. But in the process, if they handle their business like Dana Brown's handling this business right now, saying, hey, we're talking to them, we're exploring every opportunity, we're looking at the possibility of doing this, then at least people know, hey, you're not going to be so narrow-mindedly headstrong that you don't even want to talk to them because you know what they want is not something you're interested in. You're playing the game the right way more than anything else, the game within the game, outside of the game on the field. And I like that because at the end of the day, we know Jim Crane's not going to do anything he doesn't want to do. He doesn't believe in it. He doesn't think it's going to get the return on the investment. So keep doing what you're doing your way. But if this is part of the process of making the fans feel more connected, more transparency, and understand the agent and the player at least feels like, hey, you're open to having the conversation, then if it does more good for you, that's great. It's a different way of thinking, but it's, at the end of the day, the same result.
Like Kyle Tucker's 26 right now. I wouldn't give him a 12-year deal.
I wouldn't either.
I wouldn't give him that huge 12-year deal. Fromber Valdez, he's going to be 29 years old. I wouldn't give him a 10-year deal. Like, I don't want to pay a player.
And everybody that wants to pay Pena a 10-year deal after one good year in the majors, I'm not going to do that this quickly either. I understand the Padres did it with Tatis early, but now look at what they're going through. They may be overpaid too quickly on a guy that had a lot of maturing and growing up to do and has also started to struggle with injuries. Look, you got to do it for a couple years for me before I have that conversation with you.
It becomes more expensive at that point.
That's fine.
Like for every Fernando Tatis, there's been like an Evan Longoria that did that. You were able to lock up Jose Altuve on the best contract in baseball whenever he won the MVP. I'm actually in favor of signing players early, very early.
Early
because
is fine,
you get them cheaper.
But not after one year in the big
leagues. Well, that's the time to do it. Like, you look at Atlanta, Spencer Strider, they did that. Did they lock up Michael Harris? I believe that they did.
They've
been trying. That has been the Atlanta style.
What about the
kid in Tampa. Up.
The kid in Tampa.
Austin
they get
Riley. Wander Franco. You wouldn't pay Wander Franco $15 million a year.
I gotta see it for more than a season to know that there's no sophomore jinx. There's no fall off. There's no because the other thing that you don't want to do. I understand you want to get the bargain deal by getting them now before the price goes up. But on the flip side, because we know how incredibly cheap Tampa Bay is, Tampa Bay wanted to do that just the way the Mariners wanted to do that, so they didn't run the risk of having to pay the massive mega deal. But then you also run the risk of if a guy gets hurt or he doesn't live up to billing, you're still on the hook for all that money, and the player's not going to perform at the level they did when you were making that contract happen.
The difference, though, between like the Rays and the Astros, though, is like a deal Tampa Bay, because they have a smaller pie, like that's right. Pretty crippling for them, where a player gets hurt that's making a significant amount of money. The Astros, they've been willing to spend, so if they're willing to spend, one contract like that shouldn't cripple them. You look at Atlanta, Ronald Acuna is locked up for a long time. Austin Riley locked up for a long time. Michael Harris locked up for a long time. Spencer Strider locked up for a long time. And all these guys were signed with like, I mean, there's a couple of exceptions here, but you look at Spencer Strider's had less than 1 year of service. Michael Harris has had 1 year of service. Like, I think that's the time to sign him up if you believe in those guys. If you believe those guys are really good, that's how they can become affordable for a long time, and you're not signing a player into his mid-30s. Like, if you wait 2 years on Pena, Pena's all of a sudden 26. Now he wants 9 years. You're signing a guy till he's 35, and you're paying more money.
I'm not saying it has to be, like, 3, 4, 5 years. But I want to see it
too.
Okay, after this season, I'm open to it. I'm not open to it after 1 year in the big leagues. And everything happened. He caught fire. Everything went the right way for him for the entire season, and that's phenomenal. And if you're an Astros fan, if I see it again next year, then I'd be open to it, and I'd try and pursue it. But I need to see a little bit more before I commit that kind of money for that many years. On the table, and I guess that's the difference between us.
Would you have done it with Julio Rodriguez?
Well, that's because I was going to say, the one where Mariners fans are holding their breath and everything, the last thing, and to my argument, the last thing you want to see is a guy gets the Julio Rodriguez deal, and then you hear he's got back issues that might nag him for the rest of his career, and you go, oh, my God, that's worst case scenario. To your point on the Braves, which I really like, is a guy that was, whether he was the architect of it or he just was a voice in the room in it, he knows and lived through the Braves doing what they did. So if Dana Brown does that and brings that to the Astros, that's a great feather in the cap for Jim Crane.
See, the Julio Rodriguez contract is brilliant from Seattle. They never pay J-Rod more than $18 million a year. They have a club option for him at the age of 29 and then a club option at the age of 33.
But like, you understand it.
Unbelievable.
If you hear the reports that they said this could be not career threatening,
sure,
per se.
But what if he's Mike Trout without the
right.
injuries?
So there's the.
So like you're paying Mike
you're
Trout
always playing the gambling
dollars.
Game, one way or the other.
Yeah, and
it's
I'd rather be on that side of it where I'm getting a player for cheap, and if a player gets hurt, especially with a team that has some payroll flexibility. Like the Astros aren't the Rays. Like the Astros can afford one bad contract. It's better than waiting until Kyle Tucker's up for free agency and you give him 10 years until he's 38 years old and you're paying him $35, $40 million. That J-Rod contract, the most he makes is $18 million
that
per
is great.
Single
you're
season.
Right.
It's crazy. 713-780-ESPN. The Astros also announced something new yesterday as well. They're going to be wearing a logo on their sleeve. A sponsorship logo. Some people are losing their minds about it. Are you losing your mind? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. Live from Drift Bar, this is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Take the day off work and play a fun round of golf with your favorite sports station at the ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 Occasional Invitational presented by SiteJab.com, benefiting Kids Mills. This year's tournament will take place Wednesday, March 8th, 10:30 a.m. at Wildcat Golf Club. Each golfer will receive beverages from Carbach Brewing Company, lunch, dinner, 18 holes of golf, and a quick award ceremony immediately after the tournament. Register now at ESPN975.com. Killer Bees broadcasting live. Drift Bar in the Heights, kind enough to open up early for us. While we're here until 7 o'clock, we're here till 3, Wheelhouse 3 to 7. 97.5 Beer Bucket Special, 5 domestic beers, $20 during the broadcast. They also have happy hour until 8 o'clock, $4 Texas Drafts, $5 Deep Eddies. Also, watch the big game here at Drift on Sunday. The two biggest screens in the Heights, a 250-inch screen on the south patio where it is dog-friendly, wall-to-wall TVs. And it's also the weekend, tomorrow and Sunday, of the 4th annual Super Boil, $7 per pound of crawfish. We're talking about the Astros. Dana Brown, he's at least publicly advocating for long-term deals with certain players. We'll see if anything comes of that. We'll see what those contracts look like. I'm not even really worried about the money here, Blankers, because, look, not my money. And I think that the Astros need to be right at the competitive balance tax. Now, there's times whenever big contracts do hamstring what you can do from a payroll flexibility point of view. It's kind of why, you know, long-term deals, less AAV can be something that helps you depending on when you sign them. But look, I think that the Astros should be all the way up to the competitive balance tax. I don't really care about the AAVs. To me, it's way more about how long you're signing these players and until, like, what age. And for me, the normal age, my default age where I don't want to pay players, with the one exception being Jose Altuve, because Jose Altuve needs to be an Astro for life. But everybody else, I don't want to pay a player until their mid-30s.
No, I agree with you, and I think that that's the thing you want to avoid more than anything else. You understand the loyalties. We're dealing with it now with the Yuli situation, and it's all about thinking with your heart instead of your head and trying to make a loyalty decision. It's one thing when you're talking about 1 year versus two, a couple million here or there in the single figures. When you're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars and 10 to 12 to 14-year contracts like you saw in free agency, it's a totally different ballgame, because the chances are that the majority of those turn out in favor of the team at the end of the day are slim and none. Most cases, the final, you know, 3 to 5 to maybe longer deals with the longer these things are being signed for, turn out and become return on investment deals for the team, not going to happen. And that's what I give Jim Crane the most credit for, the fact that he's been able to be bullish and say, hey, look, we totally appreciate and love everything you did here. And we, you know, will give you full credit for that along the way. And it's not that we don't love you, but from a business perspective and as it relates to being a competitive baseball team perspective, there's going to be certain things that just are not on our agenda of things we are willing to do. And if you agree to that, then maybe we can find a shorter-term deal. Maybe we can even up the AAV if we have to. But we can make it make sense for both of us. And if we can't, we're not going to hate you. We're not going to, you know, keep you out of our ring of fame or retiring your number or giving you your flowers for being what you've been for this franchise. We're just not going to agree to pay you what you think you deserve to be paid.
Oxy logo is going to be on the Astros sleeve. So people don't like this. If you don't like this, then you don't want Kyle Tucker re-signed. If you want Kyle Tucker re-signed, you should be in favor of sponsorships all over the Astros uniform. But what do you think of this, the reaction to everybody being upset that Oxy is going to be on the Astros sleeve?
I have no problem with it. This is the same way that when we had the conversation about the legalizing gambling in every state and as it relates to the state of Texas, I said, having worked in the front office of a professional sports team for decades, that the leagues are constantly looking for outside revenue streams and sources that can allow them to continue to pay the salaries like this and operate on a daily basis with all the different expenses going up. And I have no problem with Pat. Look, it used to be when no team, professional sports team in the United States did this and soccer teams did it, we don't ever want to do that. It clutters the jersey and it'll affect jersey sales and people's love for their teams. No, it won't. And guess what? You know what it's going to do? It's going to do exactly what you said. It's going to give you the opportunity and the ability to maintain and keep your own. The players that, and in some cases, get new players and pay them the exorbitant amounts of money it's going to take to get them to join your franchise and leave where they were playing. You need to get over this, right? And certain people were losing it because it's just the concept of sponsorship on a jersey for the full season. Mm-hmm. The NBA started doing this, and they do it on their practice. NFL does it on their practice jerseys. The day is coming, people, where the NFL is probably going to do it too. But from a baseball perspective, there were two angles. I don't like it at all because it clutters my jersey. And then the worst one was, well, this is the championship jersey. You can't do this to the championship jersey, and then I pay for it, and then I'm advertising this company too. It's this season's jersey. It's not the jersey they won to wear to win the championship. If you want a championship jersey, get the World Series patch jersey from a year ago. If you're worried about a jersey for opening weekend and the opening series and the patch bothers you, don't buy it.
Yeah, I my 3 years in a professional organization, it's the same thing. Like, you had sponsorships all on it. You had sponsorships on the front. Like, it's just the way that it works nowadays. And it's another way to make some money. It's how much money? Like, I'm sure it'll come up at some point. But the part that bothers me is, like, the hypocrisy of some people. Where the one person saying, oh, sign Christian Javier, Kyle Tucker, Alex Bregman, and Jose Altuve. Sign all of them.
Or Correa. Who cares what it costs?
Right.
Bam!
And then at the same time, like, oh, no, they shouldn't put the Oxy logo on the sleeve. Well, they got to get money. And if you're going to get money, you think it's going to go back into the team. You can't talk out of both sides of your mouth on that front.
And here's the easiest way for the common fan to understand this. You can only charge so much for tickets and so much for suites and signage and commercials. At the end of the day, if you think that pot of money from those three revenue streams are enough to pay your favorite superstar $200 to $300 million and then also put a team around them and be competitive, you're wrong. It's that simple. You are completely wrong.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of the sponsors. This guy's not, 4683. The logo is pretty big on the sleeve, and not a fan of some of their environmental incidents. I have no idea about those.
I don't either.
Because I don't pay attention to anything besides sports. Plus, I don't think the logo looks good with the rest of the jersey, though it would be hard for many logos to match the Astros' color and theme very well. 4683, I would ask you, do you want Kyle Tucker to be signed long-term to the Houston Astros? Do you want Christian Javier to be signed long-term to the Houston Astros? Because you can't tell them not to be looking for avenues to make money, but then you want them to spend all that money, too.
Jeremy, this is the equivalent of ring night on steroids.
Yeah, look, 4683. Crane has enough money without jersey ads being sold to pay for the team's payroll. It's putting your hand in somebody else's wallet.
Yeah, you don't know. And here's the thing. Think about all the ring nights. They're going to have a ring night for every, what, Wednesday, the entire season? Because they realize that when you win championships and you get rings and you have ring nights, attendance goes up 5,000 to 7,000 and maybe 10,000 extra people in the building on those nights, on weeknights where it's hard to get people in the building. It's the same thing with why you do this with a patch on the sleeve, because the amount of money that company is paying for that exposure is going to put a whole lot more money in your owner's checkbook to pay for your players and the things that you want and like being a winning franchise.
I heard somebody, I saw this on Twitter, like a conversation, that said that the ring night a few years ago when the Astros had it, they sold out like every Tuesday. Which is like, you're selling out a Tuesday game every week of the regular season when that's impossible to sell out. This year it's going to be on Wednesday, like you mentioned. You're selling out every Wednesday? That's pretty smart.
That's unheard of with families, with kids, yeah. And all that, and people with businesses and jobs, and everybody bitches about traffic. You understand, bobbleheads and rings.
Yeah, I heard about that earlier today, somebody griping about that.
Bobbleheads and rings are the smaller version of patches on jersey sleeves that helps your team stay competitive.
I don't know if I love that comp.
But it's true. It's the revenue in your back pocket that you didn't have otherwise that helps you keep your team competitive and keep good players playing in professional sports and on your team.
It is added revenue. 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Broadcasting live from Drift Bar. Everybody's favorite game. We do it every Friday at 2. Who said it? ESPN 97.5 personalities. Their quotes. We guess who said it. Then we listen for right. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, let's tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. Look, Dr. O and his staff do a phenomenal job of taking care of their customers and patients on a daily basis. You have a lot of things going on in your life, and maybe you don't feel the same way and have the same results that you used to. From the boardroom to the weight room to the bedroom, if you have problems, they have answers, they can get you results, and they can get you to feeling like you once did before and thought you could never feel like again. They have all the right people in place to take care of you every step of the way, and it could be everything from getting on a workout program to recovering quicker to all the different ways they can put more energy in your life on a daily basis, from B12 shots to all the different ways that they can get you into hormone therapy and experiencing more energy on a daily basis. They take care of their customers. They get results. Mention my name, Joel Blank. Free B12 shot on your first visit, which can give you more energy on a daily basis. I get one every Friday. Or you can get a free body composition analysis, which charts all the different levels that you have to make sure that all the numbers are making sense. Your body fat numbers are going down. Your muscle mass numbers are going up and so on. Check them out today. Tell them I sent you by. But go to ApolloMH.com and see all the services they offer and if a couple might make sense for you. If they do, sign up for that first appointment. Most major insurance accepted. Discounts for military personnel and first responders. Check them out today. They're good people doing great things. It's the good people at Apollo Men's Health.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.